A few weeks ago, I ran into a few people that had heard the message of universalism. And a while back, Greg talked about that, and I thought, why is he even talking about that? I never heard that word before. It was a really big word. I thought, why is he even talking about that? It just didn't seem important at the time. And over the last few weeks, God has just come bubbling out of me to stomp on that doctrine because it is so dangerous. And what I heard these people saying was that they were confused and they didn't know what to believe anymore. Universalism is the belief that you don't have to believe to be saved. Everybody's going to be saved. Everybody. Everybody will be in heaven. That's a very dangerous doctrine. And as these people talked to me, like I said, Jesus just started bubbling up out of me. And this fire began to burn. And this anger came up, not against the people that are preaching it because they're just being tricked, but against the message. And what the enemy does is, when the gospel is preached, he is so petrified of it. He is so afraid of it that he has to do something to pervert it. Let me tell you, the devil is petrified of grace and the true gospel. So when the true gospel begins to go out, he's going to try to do something to pervert it. And that's what he showed me, that this doctrine of universalism is. So the last couple of weeks, I went to my computer and I started looking up scriptures. And I tell you, I could keep you all here till tomorrow morning, but I'm going to spare you that. But there are so many scriptures in the Bible about believing and how important it is and what it means to us and what it means to God. God is the one that invented belief. God is the one that believed in us before we could believe in ourselves. Everything in his heart is based on belief, and he made us like him. And so he wants us to live from that same platform as he lives from. I found about 50 scriptures in less than an hour that day when I went home. Paul encountered the same thing in his ministry. He would preach the true gospel, and then people would come in, and they would preach the perverted gospel. So we shouldn't be surprised when this happens. But Greg has not only taught us how to read the Bible, he's taught us how to discern, because when you preach grace, discernment comes up in you. And if you read the Bible and you read it the way he's taught us to, through the veil of Jesus and him crucified, it'll be real clear that this doctrine is not correct. Paul had a fervor for the truth and fought against the gospel of Christ being perverted. I feel that same call on my life. And I tell you, I didn't feel it until a few weeks ago. But it came up so strong and so powerful that I can't keep my mouth shut anymore. People need to hear this. It's amazing that Harvey's, one of his main scriptures that he started out with in that Facebook was John 3:16. And that's where I'm going to start. And you know, I know it's real easy to say, oh, I know that scripture. I memorized that scripture when I was a little kid. I know it inside out there, and anything you can tell me about it. Well, that's not true. This is what God showed me. This scripture refutes the doctrine of universalism. Right there. It's probably one of the first scriptures any of us ever heard. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All scripture is given, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, even the ones we know inside out, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we're going to use scripture this morning. I can tell you everything I want to tell you, but unless I use scripture, it won't really refute the doctrine at its core. Greg has taught us to interpret scripture with scripture. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to take a close look at John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what does that mean? You can be rich or poor. You can be any race. You can be male or female. You can be young or old. You can be a glutton. You can be an addict. You can be a murderer. You can be a liar. That word, whosoever, removes all rejection based on who you are. Anyone can come. Anyone. There is no restriction. Now let's look at that very next word, believeth. You can be rich or poor, an adult or a child, male or female, a murderer, a liar, in any other category that you can think of. But you have to, what? Believe. Whosoever can come, but they must believe. The definition for believe is to have faith in, to have faith upon a person or thing, to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being, to Christ. To believe, commit, to trust, to put your trust in. What will happen if you don't believe according to the scripture? You're gonna perish. That means, that word means to destroy, to lose, to die, and separation. What do you get if you believe? Everlasting life. There it is, right there. There's the choice. That's what you're going to do. You're going to either believe and you're going to have everlasting life, or you're not going to believe and you're going to perish. In 1977, I was a pretty miserable person. Anybody know who Nebuchadnezzar is? Anybody remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Was he very human? No. He took on the appearance of something else that appeared that was not human. Well, in 1977, I went through a very traumatic time in my life, and I lost my human appearance. Now, you can say, how could that happen? I was in the middle of a nervous breakdown, and I would get hives on my face and my body. My body didn't bother me so much, I could wear clothes. But on my face, the size of baseballs, my nose was gone because my cheeks were out like baseballs, and I no longer looked human. I was like that off and on for 3 months. My husband had to wake up our two boys, Greg was one of them, and my oldest son, Jay, and tell them, this is your mommy. You don't need to be afraid of her. I didn't know what was wrong. I was a good little Catholic girl, you know, obeying the Ten Commandments, going to church every Sunday so I could go to heaven. And my life was falling to pieces, and I did not know why. And God, even though I didn't believe God talked to people then, God just put in my heart to go see this pastor in the community, not a Catholic pastor. And he preached to me the gospel. And he said, if you will believe, if you will believe on Jesus, if you will believe what he did for you on the cross, he's going to take all this away. Was I dumb or what? I said, yes. Faith came when I heard the true gospel. That's how it comes. Do we have to work it up or muster it up or go dig a hole somewhere and find faith? No, faith comes the moment you hear the good news. When you hear how much Jesus loves you and what he did for you, faith will just come. And I chose it. I picked it. I needed it. And I believed. And guess what happened? I didn't go into a mental ward. I turned around totally. The hives went away. I found Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I knew all my sins were washed away. My marriage, which was falling apart, was put back together. I've had three more children. And God's using me to preach the gospel of grace because I believed that is all I did. I went from having a faith in God. That's what believing did. Now we're going to look at some other scriptures to confirm the true gospel. Romans 4:3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What did Abraham do to get that righteousness? One thing, he believed. Romans 10:11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's the whosoever again. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what your background was. It doesn't matter if your face looks like a bunch of baseballs. Whosoever can come and believe. All you have to do is believe in Jesus, and you're free from the shame and the guilt, and you can become one with God. Galatians 3:8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So God chose to justify his people through faith, not anything else. Now we're going to look at some scriptures, and we're going to see what Jesus said, if he thought faith and believing were important. And remember, we're coming against the doctrine of universalism. Not the people that teach it, just the doctrine. And that doctrine says everybody will be saved. You don't have to believe to be saved. John 6, verse 47. This is Jesus speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Again, Jesus is telling people, you have to believe. John 10:26, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. How do you become Jesus' sheep? You believe. John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. So Jesus said salvation was based on believing. That is so important. Do you realize if people begin to believe the doctrine of universalism, they won't think they have to believe. If they don't think they have to believe, they won't think they need to hear. If they don't hear, they have nothing to have faith rise up. And they're going to go to hell. That is a big deal. That is very important. And I tell you, it is God in me that put this passion in me for this. I did not feel like this before. This is on God's heart. He is passionate. Like that song we sang, that song. I'm telling you, that song undid me. It undid me. When I had a face that looked like baseballs, and you couldn't find my nose, and my little children had to be told that I was their mommy, God saw beauty and perfection. And that was all that he saw in me. And that song just took me back. When I was at my worst, he saw perfection. You know why? Because he believes. He believes that we are his image. So we want to believe what God believes. Okay, now we're going to go to some Hebrew scriptures. There are so many of them in Hebrews 11 that I'm just going to read the first little statement to give you an idea. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Noah prepared the ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And on and on and on. That whole chapter, everything that the people did, everything that was going on, it was because of faith. It was because they believed. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. In Colossians 2:6, it says, as ye have received Christ, so continue to walk in him. If you didn't receive him by faith, then you didn't receive him. And once we receive him by faith, we're supposed to continue. Our whole life is based on believing in God and what he says about us. You all can go to Hebrews 11 if you want and read all the other faiths. Luke 8:12 says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil. Now remember, what happens when they hear? Faith comes, right? When you hear, faith just comes. You don't have to muster it up. You don't have to go looking for it. It comes. But also comes the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So you've got God pouring out his faith to us as a free gift that comes when we believe and hear the true gospel. You've got the devil that's coming to try to take it out. If faith and believing weren't important, the devil wouldn't be going after it, would he? No. He wouldn't care. Those by the wayside are they that hear. When they hear, faith comes to them. The devil comes alongside also and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. John 20:31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Again, without believing, you're not going to have that life. And once you get saved and that life is in you, if you can't believe along the way all the blessings and things that God has for you, you can't receive it. So we start by believing, and we continue our whole life in believing. Acts 13:39. Now this scripture will set you free if you really get a hold of it. And by him all that believe. Everyone that believes. Everyone that believes is justified from what? All things. Anything you've done, no matter how bad, it's taken care of. From which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So we can't be justified by obeying the law and trying to do everything right. Good thing, because nobody can do that. But we can be justified by believing. There's only one way to salvation, and it's faith. It's believing. And we don't want to let the devil come in and pervert the true gospel and make people think that they don't have to believe, because that's what their salvation hinges on. I'm going to give you all a few more scriptures, and I know I have a lot of scriptures, but I didn't want this message to be based on what I said. I want it to be based on what God says. And I think that that is such an important thing that we learn. There's going to be a lot of things. I don't think universalism is going to be the only thing. I think the devil's going to come up with a lot of stuff to try to pull us off. We need to go here. This is the answer. If one scripture gets pulled out of the Bible and nothing else matches with it. Something's wrong. All the pieces need to fit together. And that's what we're finding out. If we'll study the Word and listen to grace and not the law, we're going to find out that all these things fit together like a puzzle. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Acts 16:31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What do you have to do to be saved? Believe on Jesus. And it says, and thy house. Now, it doesn't mean that the one person believed and his whole house got saved. It means the whole household was the whosoever, and they could come also and be saved. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, that scripture used to really torment me something fierce, because I knew there were lots of times that I was trying to dig the hole and muster up the faith and find it somewhere because I felt like I couldn't find it in me. That's how I felt. Man, it was hard and it was a burden. That's not right, is it? No, it isn't. Because in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, trying to muster up faith isn't easy and it isn't light. It's hard. It's difficult. In fact, I want to tell you, it's impossible. You know why? Because when you get saved, faith is given to you as a gift, because we can't come up with it ourselves. God has to give it to us. And that's the good news. It's easy. It's his faith. And we're going to use the word to back that up. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul lived his life by God's faith, not his own faith. That's what makes it easy. Romans 12:3. That's not it. Romans 12:3 says that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, do you think that God dealt to me Bonnie's faith? Is that going to help me? Did God deal to me Simon's faith? No. He dealt to us his faith, the measure of his faith. Do you know how big the measure is? Enough. Enough for anything you need. He gave you his faith. And we know from other scriptures, God's kind of faith, it doesn't take a lot. It just takes the size of a mustard seed. So faith is given to us. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. When I got saved, everything had to be a gift to me. I didn't even know my name. My husband was very merciful to me and didn't put me in a mental hospital. But for 3 months, there were many times that I didn't know my name. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know I was a wife. I didn't know I had children. My mind was gone. There wasn't anything I could do to help myself. God gave it all to me. He gave me the faith to believe. When I heard the truth, and that was all I needed, and it took everything, and I'm telling you, within 24 hours, I was totally different. I was looking like the image of God instead of the image of a baseball. I knew my name. I could take care of my family. I could cook. I always knew who I was. But it all had to come as a gift. That's good news to us. When we're down and we feel weak, the problem isn't on us. God's the one that's got the faith. All we got to do is do a little listening to the truth. And that faith is going to come again over and over and over to us. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why is preaching foolish? It's because we don't have to do anything. All we have to do is hear. It isn't in our effort, and it gets us saved because we believe. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Salvation hinges on faith, whether you believe or you don't believe. If there's no hell, then how can there be damnation? There are two things here: believing and being saved, and believing not and being damned. The word baptized here is not talking about water baptism, so don't connect believing and water baptism for salvation. It's only believing. This word baptized here is talking about being immersed in Jesus when you get saved. It's not talking about water baptism. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I'm not ashamed of the gospel either. In fact, I'm going to open my mouth everywhere I go now, because I realize in a new way that the devil is very busy trying to pervert the true gospel. We need to know what the true gospel is, and we need to be familiar with how it's being perverted. And you might feel like I did a while back and say, why is he even talking about that? That doesn't have anything to do with me. We're going to run into people that are going to believe this. The people that I was talking to a few weeks ago, they're saved. They've been saved a long time. They've been listening, some of them, to Greg's messages. And yet they were being wooed away by some flowery thing that is not backed up by the Word of God. So it's important, maybe not for you personally, because you might know and there's no doubt about it, but we need to help other people. It might be your mother. It might be your daughter. It might be your neighbor. You just don't know. But I'm telling you, God wants us prepared. Otherwise, he would not have put this in me. The enemy is petrified. The true gospel is beginning to be preached around the world. He knows what that means. People are going to begin to find out who they are for the first time. They're going to find out that God sees them perfect. They're going to find out that they're made in God's image. They're going to find out they're the God kind. And you know what happens when they believe that? Y'all know, because you've been hearing. They're going to start acting like the God kind. When that happens, the lost are going to come running, because that's what they want. They've been looking at a church that is, oh, poor me. Sometimes they look at the church and say, I'm better off than them. Why do I want what they have? But when we get a hold of this and we let it begin to manifest out of our lives, just like what happened with Harvey. Man, y'all, he is a teenager. And that came out of him. You know what came out of him? God. God is what came out of him. And that happens to each one of us in our own way. That song, that was God coming out of Gabe, that he wrote that song. As each one of us let God come alive and flow out of us, you're going to touch people everywhere you go. You're going to touch the lost. They're going to say, I want what you have. In fact, one of my daughters has somebody working for her that's an atheist. And he's watching her, and she's always listening and giving out CDs. And he said, you know what? I want what you have if this is what your God does for you. That's what it's all about, drawing people to God and letting them know how much he loves them and how much he values them. If you know Jesus today, it's because you believed. You got saved because you believed, not anything else. It's not because you were good enough. It's not because you did some kind of ritual. It's because you believed in your heart. You believed in your heart about Jesus. If you don't know Jesus today, I have some really good news for you. You can be a liar. You can be a murderer. You can be a drug addict. It doesn't matter. Whosoever, you can come. You have heard the true gospel today. God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you and take away all of your sins. When God looks at you, he sees perfection. Just like when God looked at me in the worst state I've been in all my life, he saw perfection. He saw me washed. He saw me cleansed. If you can believe God did that for you, you've got it. You're saved. I have a word for some people in here, and it's probably going to choke me up a little bit. God showed me last night that there are some parents in here. And, you know, being a parent is the most wonderful thing in the whole world. I enjoyed being a parent so much that I didn't want to let my little children grow up. If I could have kept them all 6 weeks old, I would have been so happy because I just loved being a parent so much and caring for them. But they grow up. And, you know, if you're walking in Jesus, you're talking Jesus, you're living Jesus. They're around you. The first words out of Greg's mouth after Mama and Dada were praise the Lord. He would say, pray ye Lord. And it's because I had gotten saved. And God took care of all that bondage and horror for me in 24 hours. And I tell you what, I was a very happy person. And I didn't say much else other than praise the Lord. And that's what he heard. God said to tell you parents that have children that are older, if they gave their life to Jesus as little children, they are saved. And children believe so easy. That's why it's so exciting doing children's church. They don't question you. They believe what you say. That's why it's so important to tell them the truth. They don't say, well, what about this scripture? They don't do that. They just suck it in. They soak it in. If you poured Jesus into your children when they're little, they didn't lose him. They didn't lose him. He is still right there with them. And God said that there are parents here that are being tormented, that you think your kids aren't saved because you're looking at their actions or their words. Doesn't matter. Liar, addict, murderer. Do they believe? Then they're saved. Let's take that scripture and let's let it go to the full extent that it can. If they believe, they are saved, and it can't be taken from them, not by their actions, not by their words. When my kids were teenagers, I thought they hated God the way they acted. But you know, later on, as they came back and came around, they always were around, they would tell me, Jesus was walking with me that whole time, and I knew it. I wish they'd have told me that. But you know, they didn't want me to know. They didn't want me to know that. But God wants some parents in here. This was the word he said for you all. Rest assured. Don't be afraid. Don't let the devil mess with you anymore. They are saved. It's based on God's faith that he gave to them when they heard the good news and they believed. It's sure. It is sure. It is the most powerful thing in the whole world. And that's why God calls us to live that way. Because we're like him. It's just floods out of us automatically. You don't have to do anything to get it. You just have to hear the truth. I don't think there are too many people, well, maybe Nebuchadnezzar, that was worse off than I was in 1977. And from January 9th until March 9th, I looked hideous. I felt hideous. Didn't know who I was. Couldn't take care of my family. Couldn't take care of my husband.
That's the truth.
Thank you, God, for giving me such a wonderful husband that didn't put me away. God saw me perfect. I was his heaven. His desire was for me. He wanted me. He didn't look at me and say, why do I want a baseball face? You know, he didn't do that. My husband had trouble. You know, he admits he thought, wow, can I live with this ugly woman like this? Is she ever going to go back to normal? And my kids were afraid at first. But you know, God wasn't afraid. He was not afraid at all. He's not afraid of what you look like. He's not afraid of what you do. And I'm talking to anybody that doesn't know Jesus, but I'm also talking to those of you that do know Jesus. Because we get attacked sometimes too, and we put ourselves under condemnation because we think we should be better. I'm going to echo what Greg said. Get that song. Go on. I don't know, Gabe. You're going to have to release it for us. You know, we need to be singing that song. Sometimes, you know, with little children, you can try to get them to memorize their times tables. Ooh, do y'all remember that? But if they can sing a song, somehow singing joins with the emotions, and it goes into the heart easier, and I believe deeper. And get a hold of that song. I think we'll make copies for next week, and let everybody have a copy. To go over those words and to begin to tell yourself, this is what God believes about me. When I believe it about myself, it will manifest. It's what you'll see coming out of you. So, Father, we just want to thank you so much that you have lived your life by faith. You are faith. We thank you, God, that you made us like us. I'm sorry. You made us like you. Us is him too, though. You made us like you, Lord. You made us to believe. And you give us the faith to believe with. We want to thank you, Father, that you made it so easy and that your yoke is easy and it is light. All we need to do is hear the truth. Hear the true gospel. And I feel like God is really saying here, we need to hear the true gospel. And you can't hear the law and then the true gospel and expect God's faith to rise up, because it'll be going back and forth. And that's like having God speak the truth, like that scripture in Mark 4, and then letting the devil come in with the law and just rip it out. We need to hear the truth over and over and over. Get the law out. Eradicate it from your life. Eradicate it from your CD selections. I know right now I'm going through my house. Good Lord, I have got some stuff. And you know, I don't want to plant the law in my heart anymore. I want the truth, because God's faith will rise up And his faith will do everything that's needed. So, Father, I thank you for putting this revelation in each person here. I thank you, Lord, that you'll give them a revelation of who they are. And all they have to do is listen to the truth. And that faith that you give them is just going to rise up. I thank you, Lord, if there's anybody here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that they can do that right now. Jesus says you are perfect and innocent because of what his son did for you. All you have to do is accept it and believe. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for it, Father. Amen.